by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. اما بعد اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ Viewers of Madri channel, welcome to Rise and Shine, our early morning program. Today, alhamdulillah, we've got a very interesting topic. I'm hoping that we can all learn something today. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It's narrated, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah azza wa jal has appointed an angel to my grave. And this angel has been granted the ability to hear the voice of every single creature. Hence, whoever recites salat upon me until the day of judgment, that angel presents to me that person's name along with his father's name and says, so-and-so, whose son of so-and-so has recited salat upon you this time. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Put a time aside during your day, be it when you're traveling to work, coming home from work, waiting for something, whatever it is, we have time. As Muslims, one thing we keep on saying is we don't have time, but the problem is we don't manage our time. So we need to learn to manage our time, and inshallah, by managing our time, we can make sure that we find time to send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we said, it's Rise and Shine, it's the early morning program. We've listened to a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're now going to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
إن كاد ليضلنا عن آلهتنا لولا صبرنا عليها
قریب تھا کہ یہ ہمیں ہمارے خداؤں سے بہکا دیں اگر ہم ان پر صبر نہ کرتے
وسوف يعلمون حين يرون العذاب من أضل سبيلا
اور اب جانا چاہتے ہیں جس دن عذاب دیکھیں گے کہ کون گمراہ تھا
أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا
کیا تم نے اسے نہ دیکھا جس نے اپنے جی کی خواہش کو اپنا خدا بنا لیا تو کیا تم اس کی نگہبانی کا ذمہ لوگے
أم تحسب أن أكثرهم يسمعون أو يعقلون
یا یہ سمجھتے ہو کہ ان میں بہت کچھ سنتے یا سمجھتے ہیں
انہم الا کالانعام بل ہم اضل سبیلا
وہ تو نہیں مگر جیسے چوپائے بلکہ ان سے بھی بدتر گمراہ
الم تر الى ربک کیف مد الظل ولو شاء لجعله ساکنا ثم جعلنا الشمس علیہ دلیلا
اے محبوب کیا تم نے اپنے رب کو نہ دیکھا کہ کیسا پھیلایا سایہ اور اگر چاہتا تو اسے ٹھہرایا ہوا کر دیتا پھر ہم نے سورج کو اس پر دلیل کیا
ثم قبضناه الینا قبضا یسیرا
پھر ہم نے آہستہ آہستہ اسے اپنی طرف سمیٹا
وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعْلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا وَجَعْلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا
اور وہی ہے جس نے رات کو تمہارے لیے پردہ کیا اور نیند کو آرام اور دن بنایا اٹھنے کے لیے
وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ
اور وہی ہے جس نے ہوائیں بھیجیں اپنی رحمت کے آگے مژدہ سناتی ہوئیں
وَأَنْ أنزلنا من السماء ماء طهورا
اور ہم نے آسمان سے پانی اتارا پاک کرنے والا
لنحيي به بلدة ميتا ونسقيه مما خلقنا أنعاما وأناسيا كثيرا
تاکہ ہم اس سے زندہ کریں کسی مردہ شہر کو اور اسے پلائیں اپنے بنائے ہوئے بہت سے چوپائے اور آدمیوں کو
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ لِيَذَّكَّرُوا فَأَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا
اور بے شک ہم نے ان میں پانی کے پھیرے رکھے کہ وہ دھیان کریں تو بہت لوگوں نے نہ مانا مگر ناشکری کرنا
وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَبَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ نَذِيرًا
اور ہم چاہتے تو ہر بستی میں ایک ڈر سنانے والا بھیجتے
فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا
تو کافروں کا کہا نہ مان اور اس قرآن سے ان پر جہاد کر بڑا جہاد
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم MashaAllah, viewers of the channel, we were listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. You know, I was sat there relaxing, in fact, listening to the verses of the Holy Quran. And I think, you know, if only... You know, what happens is, I just want to... Whilst I was listening to the verses of the Quran, a few thoughts came to my mind. Number one, fortunate are those people that get the opportunity to listen to the Quran on a daily basis. Fortunate are those people that get an opportunity to read the Quran on a daily basis. But in many houses, what happens is, one that doesn't happen at all. They don't read the Quran at all. They don't open the Quran at all. And secondly, when it comes on the TV, when it comes on Madani Channel, what we do is out of respect, we turn the sound down. The reason why we turn the sound down is because whilst the Quran is being recited, we're busy doing other things. We're busy checking our messages. We're busy talking to someone else. And we're not paying attention. And then as soon as the Quran finishes, all of a sudden we find time to put the sound back up and to listen to what the Muballigh is saying. Rather than listen to what I am saying, listen to what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying. Listen to the verses of the Quran. Not only will you get guidance in listening to them verses of the Quran, but you'll also get the blessings of listening to them verses of the Quran. So please, you know, I see in many houses that when the Quran comes on, they put the sound down out of respect. Okay, because they're not having that concentration at the time and they realize that when the Quran is being recited that you need to listen to it attentively, you need to... But then for them few moments, you know... Akash, I wish that we could have the concentration levels or the love of the Quran that we wanted to listen to the Quran all day long. But how long was that? 5 minutes? Yeah. And so if during them 5 minutes you were not paying attention, during them 5 minutes you put your center, then in future, please, whenever you get the blessed opportunity of listening to verses of the Holy Quran, please listen to them attentively. Please, you know, concentrate on the verses of the Quran. If possible, just close your eyes and listen. And listen to the recitation, and listen to the translation. And inshallah, not only will you get the comfort of the soul, the comfort of the mind, but you'll also get the blessings of it as well. And Amir al-Sunnah, he guides us in the Pious Deeds booklet. He says to us that try to make a habit of every single day reading at least 3 verses of the Holy Quran with translation and commentary. Now that doesn't take too long, does it? Yeah, it's not as if Amir al-Sunnah is saying, you know, read 1 juz of the Quran every day, 3 verses. How long can that possibly take? And he also saying, don't just read the 3 verses, read the translation, read the commentary as well. Because Amir al-Sunnah wants the message of the Quran to not only get the blessings of reading the Quran, but the message of the Quran to download into our hearts, download into our minds, download into our soul, download into our bodies, so that we act upon it as well. We live our lives according to the Quran. And as a Muslim, that is the foremost thing that we should be doing. You know, there is millions of books. There are millions and millions of books out there. I remember once I went to a bookshop and it was a huge Muslim bookshop. Massive bookshop, yeah? And I remember there was a Habshi Muslim and he gave me salam. And he said, all of these books, but there's one book, the Quran. That's the book we need. And it's true, you know? And yet in our houses, we may have shelves full of books. We may have all sorts of books there, but do we read the Quran? Views of the Majid Najah, please make a habit of reading the Quran. You know, start your daily routine. You know, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that I can also act upon, you know, every single day reading at least 3 verses of the Quran with translation and commentary. Nowadays, you know, many, many areas where you can go online and you can listen to them 3 verses of the Quran. Madri channel, if in the morning, yeah, if you're sitting at home having your breakfast now, then listen to these 3 verses of the Holy Quran. I think there was 5 verses then of the Holy Quran. 5 minutes. 5 minutes of listening to the Holy Quran. Allahu Akbar. If only we can understand the blessings and the benefits of reading and listening to the Quran. But that's a topic for another day, inshallah. We'll talk about that on another day. Today we have an interesting topic, but I'm not going to introduce the topic straight away. I'm going to keep you a little bit of more suspense, inshallah. As you know, every day after the blessing of reciting Durood Pak and the verses of the Holy Quran, we have the Kalam of the day, inshallah. We're going to go to the Kalam of the day now. And again, these Kalams are then there for a reason, not just for entertainment. Whenever you listen to a naat, whenever you listen to kalam, a manajat, they're there again to instill something inside us. The naats are there to instill the praise, the love, the respect, the honor, the authority, the status, the maqam of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas the kalams, they are to encourage us, motivate us. The manajats, they're there to do the duas, and all these things are there. So let's listen to the kalam of the day, inshallah. Again, don't turn the sign down, listen to it, try to understand it, concentrate on the words, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we learn something from it as well. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Huzur sa koi intizam ho jaye salam. Oh, joy. کبھی جو
لیے حاضر
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Yusuf Milichang, have you ever gone to someone and asked them to do a favor for you and said to them, you know, look, can you please sort this out for me? And then what you do is you say, you'll plead with that person as well if need be, that look, you know, you're the only person that can sort it out. For you, it's nothing. For you, it's something. It's a small task for you, but for me, it'd be such a great thing if you could sort this out. And this kalam is exactly that. You know, you're presenting yourself in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, could it be possible? Can it be set up in such a way? Can the resources be put in place? Can the setup be done that I can come and present myself in your blessed court? And Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for you, this is not a huge task. If you just say it, it will happen. You know, if anything comes out of your mouth, if you make an intention, then it'll be easy for all of us. So Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please make this happen. Make this situation happen that I can present myself. And this whole kalam is showing the respect and the love that, you know, we should develop in our hearts for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam too. And so by listening to these kalams, you know, like I, you know, when I'm driving a lot or I'm going a lot along, you don't get chance to fully concentrate on the kalams. But here in the Mandi Channel studio, I can close my eyes, sip a bit of tea and just listen to the kalam and concentrate on the words and try to understand them. Those of you that know me know that my Urdu is not perfect, but I think it was quite simple Urdu. And I think a lot of us could understand it. And I explained a little bit afterwards as well about what the actually kalam meant. So I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that Ya Rasulullah, make it for all of us, for all the viewers that are watching now, make it possible, Ya Rasulullah, that all of us can present ourselves, can come to the blessed city of Medina and present our salam in front of the Rose Rasul. Make it all possible for us so that we can all come to the sacred lands. We can all perform the Hajj every year and we can come and visit the beautiful city of Medina. Viewers of Medina Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And you know, after listening to that kalam, it's hard to get back on track to what we should be discussing today. Today, inshallah, we'll understand what value bad omen has and what value superstitions have in Islam. It is stated that once there was a king and his companions, they were going hunting towards the jungle. Sounds of the horses' hooves and the sounds of this whole, you know, convoy of people could be heard. And so what happened was, anybody that was there, because this is happening in the early morning, so there wasn't any other sounds that were there. But as they were coming, people would move to one side. They would clear the route. And as soon as the king got near the city wall and they were going to go out to the jungle, there was a person that stood in front of them. Yeah. And when he saw that person, the king cried out of fear, "Who are you? You know, why are you standing in my route?" And the person looked round and he was a person that had a one eye. Yeah. The king, he cried out in fury and said that this is a bad omen. We got a one-eyed person here stopping the procession. This is a bad omen. This is bad luck for us. So the king, what he did, he turned towards his soldiers and he shouted at them and ordered them. He said, "I order you to fasten this one-eyed person to the pillar and he should remain fastened there until we return and then we will deal with him." So he looked at this one-eyed person who had stopped the procession, thought of it as a bad omen, right? And now was scared and thought, okay, at least tie him to a pillar and we'll deal with it later. So he was fastened to the pillar and the king said, "I will decide the punishment later on." The guards, they immediately carried out this instruction and he was tied to the pillar. The king and his companions, they carried on towards the jungle. However, contrary to his fear, that day the king hunted all day successfully. He hunted the animals and the birds as per he wished. And he was very happy because that day he'd not missed a single target. Whatever he arranged to part of the hunting, he achieved that target. So he had these birds, he had these animals and everything. And the minister that was with him was praising him and saying that, "King, you've had a fantastic day today, hunting all the animals and the birds. You know, you must have a really, really good eye for the shot." And similarly, all the other passerbys, all the other people there, the part of the convoy, they were praising the king that, "You know, you must have an amazing, you know, sight to be able to get this, your targets, you get on target every time." You know, and they were praising the king, and obviously the king was happy with all this praise. So in the evening, as they were coming back from the jungle, when the king reached near the city, he saw that they found the man there that was fastened to the ropes. And along with the vehicles of this king, there was that two-wheeled cart. And on that two-wheeled cart, were all the animals that had been killed that day, all the birds, all the animals that were killed that day. Now, having seen this, the blind person, the one-eyed person said to him, that, O king, now tell me who is ill-omened, you or me? Hearing this, the king, the guards and the king pointed swords towards the person, but the king stopped them by gesturing his hand. Not afraid of anything, that person again addressed the king and said, O king, tell me, who is ill-omened, me or you? Who is an ill-omened? Who is a bad omen? Having seen you, I had to be in the scorching heat of the sun after being fastened with ropes throughout the day. Whereas having seen me today, you hunted a large number of animals and birds. Having heard this, the king felt ashamed and immediately freed him and gave him lots of gifts and favors. So this one-eyed person is saying that, you know, who's had this bad omen? You thought it was a bad omen for you to see me, but in fact, it's been a bad omen for me to see you because you've been successful as a result of seeing me. But what's happened to me today? I've been here in the scorching heat all day. So here's some of the channel. Considering or thinking that a one-eyed person is an ill omen, thinking that there are superstitions around this, because of this, the king punished him by imprisoning him in the sun all day. But even then, he hunted more animals and birds than before. This parable, this story that I've related to you, viewers of the channel, has rejected the superstition of the person who considers any human, animal, day to be ill-omened because of the superstition. There is no existence of superstition in Sharia. There is no existence of ill-omens, bad omens in Sharia. And this is something that we need to realize. This is something that the person to realize. The person who suffers the evil of superstition, considering everything to be ill-omened, sometimes is deceived by unwise people. A superstition person makes a wrong decision, and by making a wrong decision, not only does he put himself in trouble, but he also becomes a trouble for others. Considering a Muslim to be ill-omened can make us suffer the evil of hatred. The superstition of being ill-omened is a weapon of shaitan, views on the channel, causing Muslims to fight and quarrel one another and destroy their peace. So think to yourself that this person, because, I don't know, he's got a scar on his face, this person because he's this colored eyes, this person because of this, this person because he's wearing these clothes, or this thing that I've just seen, you know, I see an animal. You know, I remember, again, when I was very, very young, I went to Pakistan and it was one year where the heat was very, very severe. And because of the heat, people were dying, you know, because of the heat. It was that hot. And at that time, ACs were not available and not everybody could afford fans, to be honest, as well. And I remember there was a superstition at that time that if you saw a black cat going on the wall of your house or the roof of your house, then the next day someone was going to die. And every night, you know, because it was so hot, we used to sleep in the, like, courtyard of the house or the yard of the house. And so every night I'd be looking, you know, seeing if I could see a black cat or not. And I remember one night I saw a black cat walking alongst the wall. And the next day I was so scared. I was so scared because I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've seen a black cat today. And, you know, I'm looking at everybody, you know, I'm checking on everybody. You okay? You okay? You okay? And so that day I was like, I was only a kid. That day I was a little bit more caring, getting water for everybody, looking out for everybody. And, you know, it put fear into me. But only many, many years realized that that's just a superstition. You know, there's no such thing as an ill omen that you see a black cat, that this is going to happen. You know, we have here that even in the UK, you have these superstitions. You walk under a ladder and this will happen to you. And you get bad luck for 7 years if you walk under a ladder or for mirror. All these superstitions that we have. In Sharia, in our deen of Islam, they hold no value whatsoever. There is no concept of considering a person, considering a place, considering a thing or time to be ill-omened. These are only superstitious thoughts. There is no value in them. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he was asked the same type of question. It is famous about a person that if someone sees ill-omened face in the morning or while going somewhere for work and he comes before someone, so that person will certainly face some problems and have worries. No matter how greatly he is sure that his work will be done, yet he feels that he may have some obstacles and worries. So such people have this experience every time as per their thoughts, and they continue to take care of that if going somewhere they come across him. They come back to their homes and then go to the work later on after getting it confirmed whether ill-omened person is there or not. Now the question arises, this is a question that was being asked to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. How are these beliefs and the manner of these people? Is there anything against Shariat or not? Meaning that some people believe that in the morning, you know, they're going to work and they have a bad day. And they think, you know what, it's because I saw that. You know what, it's because of that. You know what, it's because of this. You know what, it's because of this. And they have this superstition every time that whenever they have a bad day, they think it must be because of something they've seen. It must be because of something that crossed their path or an animal or because it's a certain day in the year, it's a certain month in the year. And we have all these superstitions. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Rahmatullah, he replied, there is no reality of it in Shariat. It is the superstition of people. Shariat says that when a bad omen comes into your mind, do not act upon it. It is only a manner of the non-believers. On such occasions, Muslims should go to the work and trust their Lord. They must not stop at all, nor should they come back. Just because you see something and you think that this is a superstition, oh, I'm not going to work now. I'm not going to make this journey now. You know, I might have an accident. This might happen. I'm not going now. This should not happen. As a Muslim, you should not be affected. Put your trust in Allah. Don't put your trust in a black cat going past the street. Don't put your trust in the fact that you saw a person there, a beggar there with one eye. Or don't just put your trust in a person that has a certain color hair. You know, nowadays people dye their hair all sorts of colors. And, oh, I saw a person with purple hair. That's bad luck. I'm not going to work today. Put your trust in Allah. Put your trust in Allah and continue in your journey and do dua, Ya Allah, make this day successful for me. So these bad ills, these ill omens, these qasus superstitions have no concern in our Shariat. Now, what is an omen? What is a, you know, we talk about an omen that we keep on saying bad omens, ill omens. The definition of an omen is to consider a particular object, a person, a sound, or a time to be good or bad for you. There are basically two types of omens, a good omen and a bad omen. Alama Muhammad bin Ahmad Ansari Qurtubi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, has written in Tafsir Qurtubi that a good omen is when you receive a good impression about the act you intend to perform after hearing something about it. It implies when the thing you have heard is good. But if it is bad, it is an ill omen. Shariat has commanded that we should be happy with good omens and finish our work happily. But if we hear something evil, then we should not pay attention to it, nor should we stop our work due to it. So a good omen is something that you can act. For example, you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I've not traveled in a Madri Kafla for a while. Yeah, I'm not traveling in a Madri Kafla for a while. So you go somewhere and you're in a gathering and they're talking about Madri Kafla. They're talking about the blessings of Madri Kafla. You think, you know what? This is a sign for me. This is a sign for me to go on that Madri Kafla. That is okay to act upon. But for you to act upon ill omens, for you to say, oh, you know what? Should I go on a Madri Kafla or not? I don't know. And then you go somewhere, nobody's talking about Madri Kafla. They're talking about everything else, but everything. Nobody's talking about. There you are. That's a sign. I don't need to go on a Madri Kafla. You should not act upon that. You know, you should not act upon, only act upon what you feel are good omens. Do not listen to the bad omens. Do not listen to these superstitions. Because in every society, in every community, in every country, in every household, there are different types of superstitions about different things, be it about, I don't know, flour, be it about eggs, you know, or the two yolks in the egg, or the flour, you know, this has happened, that happens, the yogurt sour, the tea was bitter. And we have all of these superstitions about all of these sort of things. And I'm drinking my tea today. There's no sugar in the tea. Yeah. Is that a bad omen? Is that a good omen? Yeah, I don't know. Just drink the tea. Just drink the tea. And don't be worried about it. Yeah. I look at the biscuits and I think, oh, you know, the biscuits are arranged in this order. Oof. That must be a bad omen. You know, you get these people that they read tea leaves, you know, and then read the palms of their hand. There is nothing in Islam regarding this. Yeah. Nothing in, you see people reading tea leaves. There is nothing in Islam. You see people in certain communities, they get a glass globe and they say, oh, I can tell you the future. Nothing in Islam regarding this. Put your trust in Allah. Put your trust in Allah and learn to put your trust in Allah. And if you see anything that you feel that is a bad omen, then realize that this feeling, this thought is from shaitan and remove it from yourself. And act upon that and put yourself like we are told that, you know, on such occasions we are told that Muslims should go to the work trusting their Lord and they must not stop and at all, nor should they come back. That was the advice of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. When you see something that you feel could be a bad omen, that you feel this, then put your trust in Allah and act upon that. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and we're going to go, I believe, because it's been a while since I've been on this program, so I can't remember all the packages. I believe we're going to go to the reminder of the day. Let's go to the reminder of the day, and inshallah, let's see what we're going to learn today. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
It's mentioned in the book Az-Zuhd of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala that when Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, the third Khalifa of the Muslims, Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he would feed other people, he would feed them the food of wealthy people. That was his andaz, his manner. And as for himself, he would go and eat just vinegar and olive oil. Very simple. Very basic foods. So in feeding others, he would go all out. And as for himself, he would be content with little. So this is a testament to the Sahaba-i-Kiram's asceticism, staying away from dunyawi things, luxuries, and items. And we should try and follow the way of the Khulafa-i-Rashidun. Simplicity is something that is liked in Islam. That's not to say a person can't live a certain standard of lifestyle. If Allah has given them, alhamdulillah. But look at the way adopted by our Khulafa. And this was the way adopted by our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Views of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And today we're talking about superstitions and bad omens. Now, we need to understand the difference, viewers of my channel, between a good and a bad omen. And we mentioned earlier on that there are two types of omens. There is a good omen and a bad omen. Both of them have a basic difference. Bad omen, listen to this. Bad omen is prohibited by Shariat. And a good omen is mustahab, i.e. preferable. In addition, taking good omen, listen to this, taking a good omen is a blessed manner of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, acting upon a good omen is the manner of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll give you some examples later on. One can expect goodness from the mercy and blessings of Allah azawajal by taking good omens, whereas hopelessness breeds bad omen. Good omens bring about comfort and pleasure to the heart, which are necessary for the struggle and accomplishment of any work, whereas a bad omen brings about grief and anxiety without any reason. Good omens, viewers of my channel, lead humans to success and prosperity and make them practicing, whereas bad omens breeds disappointment, laziness, and idleness, leading to demotion. It is stated in Miratul Manaji that it is sunnah to take a good omen. Herein lies hope from Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is prohibited to take a bad omen, and it is hopelessness from our Rabb. That a bad omen, you're looking at hopelessness from your Rabb. So we should not do that. And hope is good, whereas hopelessness is bad. Always have hope from Allah. Always trust in Allah, viewers of my channel. The custom of taking different things as ill omen is old amongst non-Muslims. Superstition Muslim people amongst them are affected by everything. For example, if a person left home for some work and an animal passed by him, or he heard the sound of any specific bird, he would instantly return to his home. Similarly, the arrival of someone, some days and months were also considered to be ill omen amongst them. These types of concepts, these types of thoughts are also prevailing in our society today. Islam does not allow such kinds of superstitions. Islam has not only wiped out the useless customs, but at the same time has ended this bad custom as well. You know, this custom of, and we see in every culture, even today, like I mentioned earlier, whichever culture you're in, whichever country you're in, and every town, every culture has these superstitions as well. And, you know, you'll be traveling and you say, oh, these people have this superstition, these people, and you know, I think you could a whole dictionary of superstitions around the world and it would probably be a never-ending book. And these superstitions, what are they? There's no validity. If there was something that if I saw was going to give me bad luck. If there was something or some day that if I acted upon something on that day, that it was going to be bad luck for me. If there was something or some sign that if I heard that I should not do this, then the Prophet of Allah told us that. They would have told us that, look, if you hear this sound, then don't do this. The hadith, there would be a hadith about it to tell us. So when someone says to you, look, there's a superstition about this, that if you do this, this will happen. Tell me where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us this. And you realize that these superstitions, these ill omens of seeing things that are bad, they have no value. We're going to give you two hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that whenever you feel jealousy, do not exceed the limit. Whenever you develop bad presumption, do not believe it in it. And whenever you take ill omen, get that work done and trust in Allah. Allahu Akbar. Whenever you feel jealous, do not exceed the limit. Whenever you develop a bad presumption about someone, do not believe it. And whenever you take an ill omen, get that work done and trust in Allah. In that particular hadith, we talk about bad presumptions. We have these bad presumptions about people that, you know, we see someone, they're driving, I don't know, a new car, and they're only 20, 21, and you think, you know what, I've been working for 30 years, I can't afford a new car. Has he got a new car? He must be up to something dodgy. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. He must be doing something dodgy. What have you achieved by thinking like that? Tell me, what have you achieved? You know, you've slandered that person. You've backbited that person. What have you achieved? Maybe I have a good presumption about people. Maybe his father's wealthy and he's given him as a gift. Maybe as a result of inheritance, he's got that. Maybe, you know, it's a company car that he's been given this. All these, think of all the positive maybes instead of thinking of all the negative things. But what we do is we automatically think about the negative things about people. In the same way, when something happens, we think of a bad premonition, we think it was a bad omen. And we are told here, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that whenever you take an ill omen, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us that, you know, he recognizes that people have these things that they think are bad omens. Whenever you see something like that and you think it's an ill omen, trust in Allah. Don't act upon that, trust in Allah. And this is the words of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that said, trust in Allah in all of these situations. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three things will certainly remain in my ummah: bad omens, jealousy, and ill presumption. The things that were mentioned in the previous hadith. A blessed companion humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can the person who has these three habits get rid of them? How can a person who has these three bad habits, how can he get rid of them? What are the three habits? Bad omen, jealousy, and ill presumption. And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person has this, how can you get rid of this? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Allahu Akbar. When you feel jealousy, do astaghfar to Allah Azza wa Jal. When you have a bad presumption, do not stick to it. And when you take a bad omen, do that work. Do that work. Ignore that bad presumption. Don't act upon that bad presumption. When you have a bad presumption about someone, do not stick to that bad presumption. When you have jealousy, do astaghfar to Allah Azza wa Jal. The cure to these problems, viewers of the channel. So do not act upon bad omens. Do not follow these bad omens. Regarding this, the manner of our pious predecessors is something to be followed, because these people did not use to suffer from mental torture by believing horoscopes or bad omens or considering a specific person, place, time, or object to be ill-mannered. Instead, they used to have trust in Allah. Trust in Allah. And you know, it makes me think that we don't put our trust in Allah now. I remember, you know, I was talking to some people the other day about, there are certain individuals, they drive all the way from UK to Pakistan by road. They get a car and they drive there, in all sorts of cars. And what they do is, before they set off, they get the mobile phones, they make sure that they've got the net, they've got the Wi-Fi devices in the cars, and they have all of these devices. And, you know, they get all of these things and they make sure that they look in advance that when we get to this border, this is what we need. We need to get this SIM, we need to get this Wi-Fi. And they put a lot of the trust into this. 50 years ago, some people I know, they went to Pakistan by road. And they went and they had maps. And the guidance that there was in there was about when you get to here, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And they didn't have these things. They didn't have Wi-Fi, they didn't have internet, they didn't have any of these things. So they put their trust to a certain extent in maps. Now, nowadays, we couldn't do that. You know, we trust this, don't we? When I look at us today, I think we are weak. Because we don't put our trust in Allah. We put our trust in this. Now you say, no, that's not true. But it is. You know? Even the other day, I was traveling somewhere, and I was going on a journey that I've made thousands of times. But I put my map on. And my mother, she said to me, do you not know where you're going? I said, yeah. She said, why have you got that on then? I thought, yeah, she's right. Why have I got that on? Do I not know? Yes, I know. And we need to put our trust in Allah, you know, rather than everything in this. And so if we look at the companions, we look at the pious predecessors, and then we realize maybe because of that, maybe that's one of the, and without doubt, it is one of the reasons that the Muslims are in the state that we are in today. The Muslims of the past, they put the trust in Allah. And the Muslims of today, and that is one of the reasons, viewers of Madhi Channel, that we are struggling in every environment of our lives. Be it our families, we're not putting our trust in Allah. You know, we think, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. You know, because what's going to happen then? What's going to happen then? What's going to happen then? What happens if I lose my job? What happens if this happens? We all have this, what happens? And we all, instead of putting our trust in Allah and see, Allah, you know, I put my trust in you. I will do my best, but ya Allah, you are the provider, you provide. But no, we don't put our trust in Allah. And then when it comes to other things, we don't put our trust in Allah. And then we realize that maybe the problems that we are facing in our households, the problems that we are facing in our communities, the problems that we are facing in our towns, in our countries, the problems that the Ummah is facing generally, and one of the reasons will be is that we do not put our trust in Allah. And here today we have been told by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that do not look at anything else. Do not look at these ill omens. Do not look at this. Don't make excuses. Put your trust in Allah. But we don't. And that's where viewers of Madhi Channel, we need to learn to put our trust in Allah. I'm going to share a little story with you, a personal story. I had a car that I'd got repaired, sprayed it, and put it in the yard, and I was getting it ready to sell. I used to buy and sell cars. And my father kept on saying to me that, why are you not selling it? And I said, you know, but Dad, I'll get around to it. I'll sell it. And then one day, they sat down with me, the family sat down with me and said, look, tell us, why do you not want to sell that car? Do you want to drive it? If you want to drive it, then get it out and drive it and sell your other car. Why do you want to keep this car? Why are you not selling it? You keep on putting it off. And I said, you know what? The place that I'm working, yeah, there's redundancies happening. People are losing their jobs. And I'm afraid that I might be in that redundancy list. And you know that car that's in the yard? It's an ideal taxi. If I get made redundant, yeah, then I'm going to put a taxi plate on it. I'm going to drive it as a taxi. And my whole family said to me, you will sell that car tomorrow. You will sell that car tomorrow. Put your trust in Allah. Put your trust in Allah and sell the car. And so the next day I sold the car. Alhamdulillah, I was never made redundant. I was never out of a job. I'm not saying that I have that taqwa. You know, earlier on we had the reminder about taqwa. I'm not saying I have the taqwa that I should have. But I think we all, it's something that we need to develop, that taqwa, that trust in Allah, we need to develop it. So my advice to all of you viewers is to develop this taqwa inside you, develop this trust in Allah inside you. And inshallah, you'll have a more peaceful life, a more comfortable life, instead of worrying about everything in your life. Learn to trust Allah. Viewers of Madhi Channel, we're going to take a small break now, inshallah, and we're going to go to the hadith of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to give you some parables about putting your trust in Allah and not following the ill omens and superstitions. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the mercy of the Rasul of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was astounding. The Messenger of Allah was once resting on a journey, Ghawrath bin Harith then came and took the sword of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and removed it from its sheath, intending to martyr him. Now when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam awoke from his sleep, Ghawrath said, "O Muhammad, who can save you from me now?" Now listen to the reply of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. He replied by simply saying, "Allah." Ghawrath was overawed when he heard this, causing him to let go of the sword that he was holding. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then picked it up in his sacred hand and asked, "Who is there to save you from my hand now?" Ghawrath began to plead, saying, "Only you can save my life." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, again the mercy comes into happening, let him go and forgave him. After this incident, Ghawrath returned to his nation and said, "O people, I have returned after meeting with such a person who is the best of all humans on earth." Dear viewers of Madani Channel, these incidents highlight how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would treat everyone, every single person from child to adults, with love and compassion, as well as not become angry with anyone due to personal reasons. No matter how personal anything got, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always kind. But when the boundaries of Sharia were breached in front of him and the divine laws were disregarded, signs of anger would become visible upon his noble forehead. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, anything personal to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not matter to him. But when the boundaries of Sharia were disregarded, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would get really, really angry. We must take care and all do good deeds and please the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins for his sake. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Yes, views of Mother Channel, we're talking about superstitions and bad omens. And today so far we've realized that there has no value in Islam. There is nothing in Sharia that tells us to act upon superstition. There is no such thing as bad omens. And we mentioned some hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put our trust in Allah, put our trust in Allah. And I'm going to give you some parables now about the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they put their trust in Allah and how they did not act upon ill omens or superstitions. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala intended to travel to fight against the Khajis, a fortune teller obstructed him and started to say to him, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, please do not go on this journey." When Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to him, "Now give me the reason, why should I not make this journey?" He replied, "This time the moon is in Scorpion, a sign of the zodiac. If you go now, you will be defeated. The moon is in this phase. If you go now, you will be defeated." Having heard this, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala replied, "The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala do not believe in astrologers. Trusting in Allah, and in order to prove you false, I must travel. Trusting in Allah and to prove you false, to prove you that astrologers have no value, I must travel and trust in Allah." Even though this astrologer said, he said, "No, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to put my trust in Allah and I'm going to prove you wrong." And he said the reason, because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never believed in this. Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala never believed in this. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala never believed in this. I am not going to follow your advice. I'm going to put my trust in Allah and I have to make this journey to prove you wrong. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, then he set out on this journey. And Allah azza wa jal bestowed more blessings upon him in this journey than any other of his journeys. And after the blessed life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the most blessed journey that he had made. All of the enemies were killed and Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu happily returned with victory. Why? Because one, yes, he is the great companion, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, but the second thing is he put his trust in Allah. They put the trust in Allah. And you hear of the battles that took place, you hear about the Battle of Badr, you hear about the battles that took place. And what did these companions do? In all of these events, they put the trust in Allah, knowing that either the Muslims will be successful, and if it is a result of the Muslims being successful, I am martyr, then I'm also successful. This was the trust that they had in Allah. This was the iman that they had. Unfortunately, we put our trust in our boss. We put our trust in the company that we work for. We put our trust in the benefit system. All of these things could finish. Your job could be gone. Your benefit system could be gone. All of these things could disappear. You put your trust in your property. Look around the world, viewers of the channel. You know, blink of an eye, your property could be gone. You see the floods that are happening in certain areas of the world now. We've seen the thunderstorms, the fires that have happened, the earthquakes that have happened, the tsunamis that have happened, the tornadoes that have happened. All of these things have happened. And that thing that you put your trust in, that business that you put your trust in, that property that you put your trust in, blink of an eye, gone. Allah will never go. Allah is eternal. So put your trust in Allah. That job, you put your trust in that, you put your whole life is revolving around that job. How many times have we heard of companies going bankrupt? Happens. And no matter where you are not secure. So put your trust in Allah. That's something that we need to do. Muzahim, the slave of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, Ramadullah Dallah, said that when we departed from Medina, I noticed that the moon was in Dabaran. It's a certain stage. I did not think it appropriate to tell him what I had noticed. Instead, I said to him, please have a look at the moon. How beautiful it is. When he saw the moon, that it was in the stage of Dabaran, he said, perhaps you wanted to tell me that the moon is in Dabaran. And he said to him, Muzahim, we do not rely on the sun and the moon. Rather, we follow the will and the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla is instructed to do, we do that. We don't look at the sun and think, oh no. The moon, oh no. The signs, oh no. We don't do that. Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to do this. Enough. And again, as Muslims, you know, this is talking about looking at signs, looking at things, but as Muslims, generally, we ask too many questions as well. You know, we're instructed to do things, we're instructed to read our namaz, we're instructed to fast during the month of Ramadan, we're instructed to pay our zakat, we're instructed to go on the hajj if we are financially and physically capable. All of these things we're instructed to do, but then instead of doing them, we start questioning them. Instead of doing them, we start making excuses for them. You know, something that, you know, I've realized as Muslims, we need to realize, and we've got no excuse for this, that if you were to go into a madrasa, yeah, or go into a school that had Muslims and find a six-year-old or seven-year-old child that has a basic understanding of who he is, a basic understanding, I say, all right, let's go a little bit older then, just to make it easier for you. Let's go to a nine-year-old, 10-year-old, so there's no doubt about it. I do not think that you can find a single Muslim child that is 10 years of age that will not tell you or that does not know that namaz is obligatory upon Muslims. I don't think there's any 10-year-old child, oh, I didn't know that. Mom, you never told me that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think every 10-year-old child will know that namaz is farz upon us. Why are we not doing it? You need to answer that question. I'm not going to answer that question. You need to answer that question. Oh, because I'm busy, I need to earn my work. Trust in Allah. Oh, because I haven't got time. Trust in Allah. Don't make excuses. And this is what we try to do. We try to make all of these excuses. That I can't, this is the reason why. This is the reason why it takes too long. This is the reason why. We make all these excuses. But these excuses are satanic excuses. I mentioned it once before. I think I mentioned it before that I remember going to a solicitor's office. And the solicitor said to me that, you know, we get phone calls of people all day long, we're on the phone. And, you know, when someone rings you, you look at it and think, oh yeah, this will only be 2 minutes. Yeah, you look at the, yeah, I can take this call, I've got 2 minutes. And but then you see someone and you think, oh, this is going to take 45 minutes. I ain't got time. I'll ring him back later. Okay? So he said, I remember once that I saw the phone. It was a certain individual. I thought, oh, this is only going to be a 2-minute call, but it turned into a 45-minute call. And after the 45-minute call, I put the phone down. I didn't mind. But then the time for namaz came, and someone said, oh, let's go and read our namaz. The masjid's down the street. And I thought, I've got time for this. And I didn't read my namaz. Astaghfirullah. And yet, afterwards, he said to me, it dawned on me that I was not upset of wasting more than 40 minutes of my time when I only thought I would use 2 minutes with that individual on the phone. But the thought of me going for 10 to 15 minutes reading my namaz, I haven't got time. How did I find time to answer that call for 45 minutes, but I can't find time to read my namaz for 10 minutes? How do we find time to do overtime? You know, when the boss offers you overtime, you don't say, I've got time. You find time. If you can find time to do overtime, can you not find time to read your salah? And we just make hundreds of excuses. And there is no excuse on the Day of Judgment for you not reading your salah. And we all know this, but we try to make excuses. In fact, what we're doing is we're not lying to anybody else, we're lying to ourselves. We know that we are wrong. We know that this is an excuse. We know that this is not a valid reason. We know this. The reason why I'm not fasting, the reason why I'm not praying, the reason why I'm not paying the zakat, the reason why I'm not going on hajj, we are lying to ourselves. We're making excuses to ourselves. Oh, I need to get my daughter married. Oh, I need to get that kitchen extension done. Oh, I need to get this done. These are excuses. It is further upon you to perform the hajj. It's not further upon you to get that kitchen extension. It's not further upon you to get that new car. But it's further upon you when hajj becomes further upon you, it's further upon you to do it. And when it comes to getting your daughter married, you don't have to spend millions of pounds on doing it. Yes, if it comes to the situation where it is necessary for you to get your daughter married, then get them married, but you don't have to spend thousands and thousands of pounds upon it. But we make this excuse, I can't go on hajj because of the wedding. What do you mean the wedding? How much does it cost to get married? How much are you going to pay the imam to perform the nikah? It's all these other things that we add on to it. And so we make all these excuses for not reading our salah. We make all of these excuses for not fasting in the month of Ramadan. You know, I can't fast because I get headaches. But sometimes if you're working on a 12-hour shift and you haven't got a break, you don't get a headache. You don't get a headache during them 12 hours, do you? But you get a headache if you're fasting for 12 hours. Sometimes you're traveling, you can do it. We just make excuses to ourselves. And them excuses, you know, are these satanic whispers that I can't do this because of this. And we're lying to ourselves. And so along with getting rid of bad omens, along with not believing in superstitions, you know, the whole idea of not following bad omens is to put your trust in Allah. And this trust in Allah should be part of all of our lives. All of our lives should be part of this. In Islam, unfortunately, even within the deen of Islam, people think certain months are superstitious. Oh, I can't get my person married in this month. I can't travel in this month. I can't do this in that month. You know, and these are all superstitions. We need to put our trust in Allah and don't make excuses. And the only excuse is you're not making excuses. Then ask yourself, okay, you may think it's not an excuse. You may think it's a valid reason. Okay, I beg to differ on that, but for a moment, I'll agree with you. On the Day of Judgment, that reason that you have in your mind for not reading your salah, that reason that you have in your mind for not fasting during the month of Ramadan, that reason that you have in your mind for not going and performing the hajj when hajj is further upon you, will that reason, do you think that reason will be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment? Or, I didn't give my zakat because I was saving up for the weather for my wedding, for my daughter's wedding. I didn't go on hajj because we needed a kitchen extension. We were struggling in that small kitchen, so I had to get that kitchen extension. That's why I did perform hajj. Tell me, will that be accepted on that day? Ask yourself. You may be clever enough to convince me. I'm a simple person. You can convince me that I'm wrong. You can convince me, look, brother, there's this, there's that, there's this and this, and you can come up with a million and one excuses. Day of judgment. We're going to be there. We're all going to be there. That is a certainty, viewers of Mother Channel. That day will come when we will all enter our dark and lonely graves. That day will come when we will have to cross the bridge of Sirat. That day will come, we'll be drowning in our sweat. That day will come where our book of deeds will be opened. That day will come with every single thing that we have done will be brought before us. No excuses then. You may be the smartest kid on the block, but on that day, you're nothing. Ask yourself, can I answer them questions? Will my reasons be valid on that day? And if you have a valid Shari reason for not doing something, all well and good. But the next question is, who decides? Yes, who decides whether it is a valid Shari reason for not fasting? Who decides whether it is a valid reason? Do I decide? Do you decide? Who am I to decide? I'm not a scholar, I'm not a mufti. Now, if you're a mufti, if you have that status, then you can decide. If not, contact one. Mufti Saab, this is my situation. I don't think it is obligatory upon me to fast during the month of Ramadan. Mufti Saab, is this a valid Shari reason for me not to fast? And if he says yes, you do not have to fast, okay. But don't you decide. We should not be the ones that make that decision. We should not be the ones that decide what we should and what we should not do. The scholars are there, they're there for a reason. The muftis are there, the darul iftas are there, they're there for a reason to guide us, to help us. But what happens is, again, we lie to ourselves. You know what? Because if I ask him, he's going to say you have to fast. I don't want to ask him. Who are you lying to? Your nafs is telling you that he will tell you that you must fast. So you're afraid of asking him. What kind of logic is this? You know, deep down you know, the Mufti Saab is going to tell you to do this. But you don't want to do it. So if you don't want to do it, don't ask him. On the Day of Judgment, why didn't you ask Mufti Saab? Because I didn't want to. Why didn't you want to? Because I was afraid he was going to tell me to fast. It's not going to work. Viewers of my channel, put your trust in Allah. Follow the commandment of Allah. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You'll have comfort in your heart. Yes, along the way we make mistakes. Yes, along the way we commit sins. But repent from them sins. Rectify yourselves. Make a change in your life. And follow the commandments of Allah and put your trust in Allah. Viewers of my channel, we're going to take a small break now. I think I've been talking for too long. Let's go to Munajat, inshallah. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more before the end of the program. Let's go to the Munajat of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, 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 رکھ میرے دستے دعا کی میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے اپنی رحمت کی اپنی عطا کی اپنی رحمت کی اپنی عطا کی میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات دے قلب میں یاد تیری بسی ہو ذکر لب پر تیرا ہر گھڑی ہو قلب میں یاد تیری بسی ہو ذکر لب پر تیرا ہر گھڑی ہو مستیو بے خودی اور فنا کی مستیو بے خودی اور فنا کی میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات ہدایت دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے حال آسی کا بے حد برا ہے تیری رحمت کا بس آسرا ہے حال آسی کا بے حد برا ہے تیری رحمت کا بس آسرا ہے عفو جرم و قصور و خطا کی عفو جرم و قصور و خطا کی میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے تسلیم سب سے برا ہوں میں سدھرنا خدا چاہتا ہوں ہے یہ تسلیم سب سے برا ہوں میں سدھرنا خدا چاہتا ہوں عفو جرم و قصور و خطا کی عفو جرم و قصور و خطا کی میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے لذتوں میں پھسایا مجھ پہ لطف و کرم ہو خدایا نفس نے لذتوں میں پھسایا مجھ پہ لطف و کرم ہو خدایا دل سے چاہت مٹا ماں سوا کی دل سے چاہت مٹا ماں سوا کی میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے حسین وادیاں ہوں کاش مکے کی شادابیاں ہوں پھر عرب کی حسین وادیاں ہوں کاش مکے کی شادابیاں ہوں مجھ کو دیدار سورو حرا کی مجھ کو دیدار سورو حرا کی میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے Shit. شیطان سے تو بچانا، ساتھ ایمان کے مجھ کو اٹھانا، مکر شیطان سے تو بچانا، ساتھ ایمان کے مجھ کو اٹھانا، نزعہ میں دید بدروح دجا کی، نزعہ میں دید بدروح دجا کی، میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے، میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے، کی جب جدا ہو سامنے جلوہ مصطفیٰ ہو، روح عطار کی جب جدا ہو سامنے جلوہ مصطفیٰ ہو، ان کے قدموں میں اس کو قضا کی، ان کے قدموں میں اس کو قضا کی، میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے، میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے، میرے مولا تو خیرات دے دے،
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. I don't know if you listened to that attentively, but there was many duas in the Munajat about how we should try and live our lives, how we should try and read our namaz 5 times a day with jamaat, how we should try and read the sunnah, how we should try and read the nafil, how we should try and read the Quran. Ya Allah, we put our trust in you. Make us amongst those people that do not follow the bad omens, do not follow superstitions. Ya Allah, make us amongst those people that have the trust in you. Make us amongst those people, Ya Allah, that follow your commands. Make us amongst those people, Ya Allah, that follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we're coming to the end of the program, and normally whenever I come to the end of the program, there's so much I want to say to you with regards to this. But viewers of my channel, keep yourself attached to the environment of Dawat Islami. Go to our website, www.dawatislami.net. This topic, along with many, many other topics, there's many, many booklets, there are many, many ills of the soul that need to be observed, that we need to be aware of and rectify ourselves. Viewers of my channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine, and inshallah, until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.